We got our sound guy going. Sound guy asked me for a raise. I said, shut up, sit down. praise the Lord. People, let's open up our hymnals and stand. 260. Let's go to 260 this morning. I tell you, I never had so much fun in my life till I became a Christian. Amen? At the age of 27. Spent half my life just wasting in the world. Yeah. People, you know, the devil's a deceiver. He tells the world, if you get saved, you have no fun no more.
Yeah.
What a liar. You'll have more fun than you've ever had in your life with Jesus.
And you're free.
Yeah, free. Glory to God. 260, what a friend we have in Jesus. We're going to sing all three. What a friend we have. Sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, indeed. Please be seated, beloved. We will sing again afterward. Let's grab our Bibles this morning at this time. Open up to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15, this morning. Oh, glory to God. Yes, indeed, it's so good to know the truth this morning. Boy, oh boy, where would we be without it? Beloved, I want to bring a message this morning on scriptural patience, comfort, and hope. Scriptural patience, comfort, and hope. Because they are not the same as the world giveth. Amen? We have something the world doesn't have. And as the sirens go off out there, this world's gone off the deep end. And it's so good to know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Romans chapter 15, how many of you knows this morning that the whole Bible is for you and me? The whole Bible, I said, is for you. Somebody said to me, Pastor, you know, some of these, you know, passages in the Old Testament, I just don't think it's for me. I said, it's for you. It's for you. Well, how can it be for me? You know, I don't understand. The reason is simple. In the Bible, every verse of every chapter of every book is for you in one of three ways. Either doctrinally, historically, or spiritually. Now, I'm glad we don't have to take a lamb to the temple and kill it and shed its blood. That's a spiritual application, the Lamb of God, you see. So it's all for you. It's just a matter of which way it applies to you. And there's a fourth application in many verses that's prophetic. Look with me here in Romans chapter 15. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. Romans 15, we read in verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on scriptural patience, comfort, and hope. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the patience, the comfort, the glorious hope that the Word of God gives to us. Lord, I'm so thankful that I've got a book whose origin is divine. It came down from heaven and it's mine. Lord, I'm so thankful today that I take great comfort. I have patience and I have hope because of the Word of God. Lord, we're so thankful that you have preserved your Word to all generations, that it is perfect and complete just the way it is. It doesn't need to be meddled with. It doesn't need to be altered or modified in any way. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us today your holy Word, and we can bank our immortal souls upon it. That's how trustworthy it is. And we thank you for your passage here today, Lord, concerning the scriptural patience, comfort, and hope that we get from it. We ask you to bless it, break the bread of life, bless it, and feed us nutritionally, spiritually. Feed us, O God, and strengthen us within, Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God. It was the great reformer, Hugh Latimer, that preached continually from verse 4 of this passage. Now listen, the Apostle Paul here teaches us that the Old Testament scriptures are meant to bring edification to New Testament believers. Look at verse 4. He says, for whatsoever things, that's all, amen, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Notice here, the things written aforetime, that's previously, were written for our time. Amen? They were written in their time, but they're written for our time. Now, therefore, the Old Testament is not to be neglected by us, beloved. Its authority is not ceased. Its spiritual authority is in force. It still teaches with certainty, nor has its divine power departed from it, for it still works the graces of the Spirit of God in those who will receive it. It is the sacred scriptures. It's the words of the living God. They still produce and ripen the noblest graces in God's children. What am I saying? I'm saying that you get grace through the Bible. Yeah, he ministers grace to those who will embrace it. I want to give you three things this morning from our text, and I'll be done. First, I want us to see the patience of the scriptures. Look with me again in our text, and look at verse number 4. The first thing he says is in verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through what?
Patience.
Through patience." And notice, "of the scriptures." That means this patience that you get is derived from the scriptures. It's not fabricated, right? You can't buy it at 7-Eleven, you know? It's something that God imparts to you as you study his word. He gives you patience. Now, you and I, beloved, need patience in our Christian life. Some people you need patience to deal with, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. They're difficult. They're ornery. They're mean. And we need patience to love them to Jesus. Now, we need patience, and it's the patience of the scriptures that we need. Three ways I see this patience coming to us through the scriptures. First, there's the patience that the scriptures prescribe. Look with me here. As we read the scriptures, what happens is we see all through the scriptures patience to the child of God being prescribed by God's Spirit. Listen carefully. The scriptures prescribe patience under every appointment of life. No matter what we're going through, the scriptures prescribe for us to be patient under that circumstance, and in due time, the Lord will carry us through. Now, the scriptures, listen carefully. The scriptures prescribe patience under persecution and satanic opposition, which we all face. The scriptures prescribe patience under bearing one another's burdens. The scriptures prescribe patience under waiting for divine promises to be fulfilled. Look with me at chapter 12. Hold your place, we're coming back. Romans chapter 12. I love this verse. Look at verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now drop down to verse number 10. Watch what he tells them. "After we present ourselves to God, we're a living sacrifice, be kindly affectioned one toward another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope," there's that word, "patient in what?
Tribulation.
Continuing instant in prayer." See, Paul guarantees that if you're saved, you're a child of God, the devil's going to make sure that you have some tribulation in your life. But you know what, folks? That's good, because it draws us to our knees. It drives us to the foot of the cross. It causes us to pray and seek his face and keep us patient under that tribulation. Amen? The scriptures prescribe patience to you and me. The great physician, Jesus is called. And he writes this prescription, patience. Amen? It's not easy, but we need to do it. And we can by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, concerning this patience of the scriptures, there's the patience that they portray. All through the Bible, we see example after example after example of God's people going through unbelievable difficulties patiently, enduring it. Amen? Listen carefully. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob patiently waited for the promised land. They were sojourners in a strange land. Joseph patiently sits in the Egyptian prison awaiting his deliverance. David sitting in the cave of Adullam. He wasn't sulking and pouting. He patiently waited for divine deliverance to come. He wrote some of his best psalms in that cave. Our dear Savior being falsely accused and mocked under the trial he was patient. He said he answered him not, opened not his mouth. He was patient as an example to you and I. Go to James chapter 5. Hold your place in Romans. James chapter 5. There's example after example after example of people in the Bible who lived and died in patience that God gave them. Oh boy, I am so glad that I don't have to depend upon Bob Oliver. I can depend upon the Spirit of God for patience in my life. Amen? Some of these guys I work with, I need it. Look at chapter 5 of James. There was a man, look at this, be what? Verse 7? Be patient, therefore, brethren, that's saved people, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. We're living in the days of the latter rain. Now, folks, listen to me. Verse 7 says that he has long patience. And he says, be ye patient. See that in verse 7? Be like your heavenly Father. Be patient. Be patient. And the Lord knows we need it with some people. Now, drop down with me to verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James wrote this 2,000 years ago. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. How much closer are we to his coming now, beloved? Look at this, verse number 10. Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of what?
Patience.
He says, take the prophets. You know those prophets who they stoned and they mocked and they cut their heads off and they tortured and they burned at the... All that stuff. They were patient. They were all patient. And we need to take their example of suffering affliction and of their patience. Look at that. Go with me to verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of who?
Job.
Job, listen, he had a potsherd, a piece of clay, and he was scraping the pus out of his boils that were all over his body. Ladies, you go, yeah. He had to be patient under that, right? And he was patient. Now, we know he complained and murmured. That was the flesh creeping up. But you never complain.
Yeah.
You never murmur, right? Yeah. Let's go on. Verse number 11. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. If you're patient, he will come through for you. We need to wait on God and be patient like Job. There was another guy in chapter 5. Look at verse number 15, the prayer of faith. Look at verse number 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passion. He was patient, waiting for 3.5 years for the rain, and the rain came. We need to be patient. Why? Because the scriptures, they portray examples of patience to you and I. Thirdly, there's not only the prescription of patience, the portrait of patience, but there's the patience that the scriptures produce. The patience that the scriptures produce. Listen, folks, there is a divine influence when you get in this book that it has on your heart and life. Amen? It will impute things to you like patience, and we need it. But glory to God, I'm so glad that the more time I spend in the Bible, the more understanding I become with people, you know? The more patient I become, because that's the scriptures giving me that patience. There's the patience that they produce. Listen, they produce patience by calling us to a life of holiness and sanctification. They produce patience by revealing our Father's design in all of our trials. God's got a reason. And we know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know it's for your good, so you can be patient under it, right? They produce patience by declaring to us great promises as to our future glorification. We know what we're heading for. And therefore, we can be patient. And whenever I'm suffering today, one day, those things are not going to be worthy of what the glory we're going to have in Jesus Christ. They produce patience. Look at verse 5, chapter 15 of Romans. Verse 5. Now, the God of what?
Patience.
We serve the God of patience. I'm glad I'm not God. All those ISIS guys? And I'll be dead 6 feet under, man. You know it. I don't have the patience he has, but look at it. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you To be like-minded. What does it mean, like-minded? Patient. Patient, like God. One toward another.
Oh, wait, so time out. Verse 5 says, sometimes we need to be patient with each other. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes we rub each other the wrong way, you know?
Be patient. Be patient. The Lord is the God of patience, folks. Glory to God. Look in Romans chapter 5. Hold your place in 15. We're coming back. Romans chapter 5. I love the fact that I get patience from my God. Amen? You can't fabricate it. If you could, Procter & Gamble would. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. See, you're already justified. You know, there's so many of these churches. Oh, you can lose your salvation. Are you saved? I'm working on it. No, you're either saved on your way to heaven or you're lost and you're going to hell like a bullet. Look at it. Therefore, being justified by faith. You're in a state of justification already. We have peace with God. Present tense. Possessive tense. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so. He says, not just when it's all a bed of roses and sweet smelling and smooth waters, no ripples. Verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Why would you do that? Verse 3, knowing, is something you know, that tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
Oh, I see. So, if I am going through tribulation in my life, I am going to become more patient. God is going to teach me to be patient if it's the last thing he does. Look at verse 4. And patience worketh experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, here's what you need to see from this passage. You get patience through your difficulties by the Holy Ghost, which he has given you. Amen? Listen, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we'd all sink and fall and be crushed under our trials and tribulations. We couldn't stand. It's because of the Holy Ghost that is in our hearts that we are able to endure and become more patient, become more Christ-like. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. Amen? I want to be more and more like my Savior. I want folks to see a little bit of Jesus in me wherever I go. And that's important. But in order to do so, you know, guy, road rage. Anybody know about road rage? Guy just cuts you off, man. Just totally tried to hit you, you know. Wait! Be patient. Be patient, you know. It's so easy. And you need to be patient under these situations because these people, they don't know how to drive. These gals are from Massachusetts. They know what I'm talking about. Now, patience.
Favorite saying. Patience, damn, I'm going to kill somebody.
She's a professional driver, limo driver. She knows about it. Patience is produced by the scriptures. Knowing that. Look at that back in chapter 15. And patience, he says, verse number 4, that through, we're waiting for a foretime for our learning that we through patience might have hope. Patience of the scriptures. Glory to God. Years ago, when George Peabody was staying at Sir Charles Reed's home for a few weeks, he observed Reed's youngest son bringing to his father a large Bible for family prayer. Mr. Peabody leaned over and said to the boy, "Ah, yes, my son, you carry the Bible now, but the time is coming when you will find that the Bible must carry you." Amen? He was right.
Oh, yeah.
That book will carry you through this life. It will give you patience that you need under any trial or situation. Something else, though, this morning. I want you to notice the comfort of the scriptures in chapter 15. Look with me here in verse number 4. Not only the patience of the scriptures, but the comfort of the scriptures. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, comfort from the scriptures, comfort received by the scriptures. I am so glad this morning that you and I regularly receive divine comfort from the scriptures. That's why I tell you all the time, you need to have your nose buried in that book every day. Amen? If you don't have your book, you know, you don't have that
knows in the Bible, you're going to have a bad day. You need the comfort that the scriptures give, and it's free. But it's the most neglected book on the face of the planet. Listen, this heavenly comfort comes to us through the instrumentality of the scriptures. Three ways I see we receive this comfort. First, there's the comfort that the scriptures prescribe. Amen? You might notice a pattern here. And there's the comfort that the scriptures prescribe. All through the Bible, we see all these examples of God's people being comforted by God, no matter what they're going through. I'm so glad, beloved, this morning that you and I personally receive comfort from God. Amen? It's a part of being saved. It's a blessing of being a child of God that He comforts us. Let me ask you a question. What mother, unless she's insane, doesn't comfort her child? Every mom, by nature, comforts their child. How much more does your Heavenly Father comfort you? Oh, there's the comfort that they prescribed. The Scriptures prescribe for us to rise above our fears and take comfort. They prescribe to us to think little of all transient things and look on the eternal. They prescribe to us to find our peace and joy and satisfaction in God alone. They prescribe to us to rejoice under tribulations, knowing that God is with us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hold your place again. 1 Thessalonians. Oh, the comfort that the scriptures prescribe. It's glorious, I tell you. This book changed my life forever. Look in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, Mars Hill, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to what?
Comfort
you concerning your faith. Paul said, I know that you at Thessalonica need comfort, divine comfort. Therefore, I'm sending my preacher boy, Timothy, that I'm discipling for the ministry. I'm sending him to preach the scripture to you. And that will comfort you in Thessalonica. I love it. Look at chapter 4. Of 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse 18. Speaking of the rapture. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's comforting to think that the trumpet will blow and we'll go up yonder. Amen? Leave my boots behind. The world will say, oh, I can hear Wolf Blitzer on CNN now.
Oh, I think UFOs might have abducted them. I'm not sure.
They can't scratch their head. They can't figure it out, man. We're going to disappear one of these days. Yeah. I'm so glad of that. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm just passing through. Amen? Listen, go with me to chapter 5. The comfort that they prescribe is incredible. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, that's tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that's God's way of saying die. There's no death to the Christian. Nowhere in the Bible is it say a Christian died. It says they fell asleep. Why? Because if you have eternal life, you can't die. Oh, they can put my body 6 feet under, but I'm not dead. I'm dancing on streets of gold. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Why? Because we're not appointed to wrath. Amen. Because we're going up yonder. Comfort one another for this. Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. There's that word again. Oh yes, there's the comfort that they prescribe. But secondly, there's the comfort that the scriptures portray. Look with me here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see all through the Bible that the scriptures portray example after example after example of God's people being comforted in their trials. They portray comfort. Look at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, used to be in my Bible. You all beat me to the address. And look with me here at verse number 4. Don't miss this. Great is my boldness toward speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. Paul says, I am filled with comfort. Why? I am exceeding joyful. in all our tribulation. Why? Look at it. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know that God will comfort you by sending fellow believers to you in a time of need? And they put their arm around you. Let me pray. What's this problem you got? Let's talk about it. Let's seek the Lord's face together. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted by you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. He says, I was comforted, you were comforted, Titus was comforted. Why? Because of God. All because of God. Ooh, I love it. Look at verse 13. Therefore, we were
comforted.
In what?
Your comfort.
Oh, this is good stuff. Paul says, we were comforted by your comfort. And God is the comforter. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the capital C, well, for you guys, capital C, comforter. Can't read backwards. Comforter. He will, the Spirit of truth. Now, listen carefully. God's Holy Spirit will comfort you in your darkest tunnel. Enoch, before the flood, was walking with God in great comfort. Abraham, finding God as his shield and exceeding great reward, was comforted. David, strengthening himself in his God, was comforted. Hezekiah, spreading out his manner before the Lord, was comforted with an assuring promise. I am so glad for the comfort that the Scriptures portray, but something else concerning the comfort of the Scriptures. There's the comfort that they produce. The comfort that they produce, amen? God's Holy Spirit, as the divine comforter, uses the instrumentality of his word to comfort you. Amen? I'm so glad of that. That I'm so glad that he chose to preserve this book for me. That I could be greatly comforted. When I'm in the God shack, we call the God shack, at work, at night, I prepare for some of my best sermons there. I'm comforted because I'm not alone. God is with me. Amen? God is with me. And he comforts me all through the night. Friday, I do my 12 midnight to 12 noon. It's a tough shift, but you know what? This past Friday night, I got something for you for Wednesday night. I spent 6 hours. It took 6 hours to prepare the sermon for this coming Wednesday night. Be here. But you know what? There's great comfort in that. There's great comfort in that because he's with you. The Scriptures comfort us by their certainty, by their graciousness, by their purity. Aren't you glad it's a holy book? It teaches you to love people. The Quran teaches you to kill people. You're a reprobate. You're an apostate. We're going to kill you. You know, convert or die. You know, it's incredible. This book, I mean, it's from heaven above, folks. It's divine. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The comfort that they produce is incredible. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That's who you serve. You serve the God of all comfort. That's why I can stand at this pulpit and tell you, no matter what you face tomorrow, you can be greatly comforted in that trial. Look at it. God of all comfort, who comforteth the world. Is that what it says? No, they don't belong to him. Who comforted us in some of our tribulation. No, wrong version. Need a King James Bible. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God is going to comfort you so that you can pass it on. Amen? Pay it forward. Comfort someone else that needs comfort. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, that's our reward, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, troubled, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. He says, I'm being comforted that I might further your spiritual well-being. I love it. Glory to God. God's Son is not only here bodily in the Gospels, but He sent His Spirit to comfort you and I. A dear servant of God lay a dying in an old English hospital. As a friend tried to console him, he turned to him and said, stop, stop. Speak to me now in scripture language alone, for I can trust the words of God, but the words of men we can never trust completely. He says, give me Bible. Don't tell me what's going on out there. Give me the word. Okay, we've seen the patience of the scriptures. We've seen the comfort of the scriptures. But one last thing I want you to see, and that is the hope of the scriptures. Chapter 15 again, Romans 15, look at verse 4. Well, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hope. That's an incredible word. Glory to God. The scripture was given in order, listen to me, in order to bring hope to the human soul. Did you hear what I said? I said, God gave the world this book that they might have hope. Hope of making heaven their home. Hope of having their sins washed away. Hope of being delivered from the devil. Hope of receiving God's Spirit. Hope of heaven above. I love it. That's why the scriptures were given. That we might have, present tense, hope. Beloved, you know what? Go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Our hope is not in a religion. Our hope is not in a baptistry tank. Our hope is not in a church membership. Our hope is a living person. Look at it. 2 Timothy. There's a good verse here. Make it 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. I knew I was close. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. Who's our Savior? Capital G, God. If you don't know that, you can't be saved. Look at it. God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. That's His name. Which is our hope.
What's good verse? That's good verse. Somebody said to me, brother, what's your hope?
What's your hope of making heaven your home? I said, it's a person named Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. It's not anything I do or could ever do. It's something He did for me. Amen? Something He did for me. Jesus Christ is our hope. I love it. There's the hope that the scriptures prescribe.
Amen.
Everywhere in the Bible, you see people taking hope. No matter what they're enduring, they take hope in God that He will see them through. There's the hope that they prescribe. The hope of salvation. They prescribe the hope of waiting for our glorified bodies. They prescribe the hope of our future resurrection or rapture. Whichever comes first. Romans chapter 8. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. And hold your place again. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 22. I love this. For we know, you know things that the world doesn't know. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Time out, church. Why? Why is the all of creation groaning in pain? It's under a what? Begins with a C. See, curse. This world is under a curse. That curse is going to be lifted at the second advent when Jesus Christ sets up His kingdom. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. Amen? I can't wait to stick my arm down the throat of a big old lion. Ha! Grab him by the mane and shake him. Why? Can't hurt you.
I want to pet him.
No. Yeah, pet him. I'll ride him, man. You know? It'll be fun. Why? No more curse. But look at it. Meantime, there is. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, the creatures, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Same people. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. We're waiting for something. For the adoption, to wit, to know, the redemption of our body. Glory to God. For we are saved by what?
Hope.
Hope. Who's hope? Who is hope? Jesus Christ. He's saying we are saved by Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Look at it. But hope that is seen. Let me ask you a question. Can you see Jesus? Oh, yeah. what's his name there? Oral Roberts saw Jesus. He saw a 900-foot Jesus, and he told him, if you don't send me, every American send me $287 in the mail, Jesus said he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
What time's your funeral, bud? That was not the Jesus of the Bible that he saw. Oh, I believe he saw something, all right. Visions and all kinds of things coming. You see, that's not the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible says he's at the right hand of God in heaven. You can't see his physical body. Okay? Look at it. Verse 23. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope, that's Jesus, that is seen, Mr. Roberts, is not hope. Do you see that? Look at it. Look at it. Hope that is seen, 900 foot Jesus, is not hope. That's not Jesus. That's what he's saying. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But, oh, I love this, verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, we don't see him yet bodily, then do we with, what's the next word?
Patience.
There it is again. With patience, we wait for it. Folks, I am not looking for Jesus to show up and come through that door bodily, though he's here in spirit. That would not be the Jesus of the Bible. My Bible says I'm going up to meet him. He's not coming down till the end of the tribulation period. That's another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel that they preach. But look at this. Incredible. Paul is prescribing hope here in chapter 8. There's the hope that they prescribe. Secondly, there's the hope that the scriptures portray. Many, many portraits we find in the Bible of people living by hope. It's an endless list of martyrology in the Bible. You want hope? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you can stomach it. Yeah. Fox's Book of Martyrs, every one of them died in hope and didn't recant. You know why? They knew something. They knew the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so glad. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There's the hope that the scriptures portray over and over and over. We see examples of this blessed hope that people have had in time past. Look in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. The hall of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Can you see heaven? No. You can't see heaven bodily. You can see it through your eyes of faith, though. See, we're waiting to get to heaven. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, all these charismatics and these Pentecostals, they want signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles, and tongues, you know. How about faith? Anything, anybody remember the Bible says you're supposed to live by faith, not by sight? Man, look at it. Verse 2. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And it's not Ethiopia. Look at it. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, Mesopotamia, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Now look at this. What we have in this picture, the Holy Spirit is painting a portrait of hope. The hope of heaven. Amen? He says they didn't see it, but they hoped for it. And they knew that they were marching onward and upward to Zion. They were treading the pilgrim's path all the way up to heaven above, though they never saw it with their physical eyes. They lived and died in hope. I'm so glad of that. There's the hope that the scriptures portray. But thirdly, there's the hope that the scriptures produce. Amen? Yes, indeed. When we see in the scriptures what God has done for others, it produces hope in us that he'll do that for us. When we experience God's present blessings in our lives, it produces hope that he'll continue to do it tomorrow. When we see God's word effectually working in all those who believe, we take hope that he'll continue to work. Romans chapter 15 again. Back to our text. Look at it. In Romans 15, don't miss this verse. Verse 13 says, now the God of what? Woo! The God of hope. That's who he is. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul says, here's how you can do it. You can abound, be filled with all the glorious hope of heaven by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not something that you manufacture. It's something that you get from God's Spirit within. I am so thankful for that hope that the Holy Spirit's power produces in our souls. James Ford said, God's Spirit is the fountain of all hope, and by the channel of His inspired word, this hope flows into our hearts and lives. Let me repeat that. He said, God's Spirit is the channel of His inspired word. By His word, this hope flows into our hearts and lives. And from this calm sense of inward peace and comfort which the Scriptures produce, we are led by the same Spirit to feel this blessed joy and our joyous hope in our daily walk of faith as we continue on in our study of the Scriptures, rightly dividing them, and thus growing on in glorious blessed hope. We grow more and more in blessed hope, beloved. We have the patience of the Scriptures. We have the comfort of the Scriptures. And bless God, we have the hope of the Scriptures. In closing, let me give you this, and I'll be quiet. Martin Luther once said, I study the Scriptures like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree, that the ripest might fall out. Then I shake each limb. And when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look closely under every leaf. He explains, I search the Bible as a whole tree. I shake every limb, studying book after book. Then I study every branch, searching meticulously through every chapter. Then I shake every twig, carefully looking at each paragraph and sentence. And finally, I turn over every leaf, pondering every word and its hidden meaning. Amen? Why did Luther say that? Because he received hope from the Scriptures. And that's what we receive, beloved. We receive patience. We receive comfort and we receive hope from the blessed Scriptures of God, the Bible. I am so thankful. Look at it. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the glorious patience, comfort, and hope that the Scriptures produce in our lives. Lord, it is so blessed to abide in the Word of God and the Word of God abide in us. Lord, it produces things in our lives that we never could have experienced apart from new birth in Jesus Christ. The Word of God is alive and it worketh effectually in them who believe it. We're so grateful for that today. Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen us in our walk of faith. Strengthen us in our patience, Lord, especially particularly in dealing with the lost and loving them and exhorting them to come to Jesus Christ before it's too late. And then we ask you to strengthen us, Lord, in the comfort of the Scriptures, Lord, that whatever we're going through, we would experience that divine comfort that only comes from thee, through thy word and by thy Spirit. And then, Lord, we thank you so much for the hope, the blessed hope. And our hope is a person named Jesus. And we're so thankful that, Lord, because you live forever, we too shall share in your glory forevermore. Thank you for the message today. Thank you for the encouragement we've received from your word, Lord. It's all from your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's stand. Grab our hymnals for a time of invitation. And let's open up to 145. 145. We're going to sing all three. And I want you to think, as we sing this song, I want you to realize that one day we're going to stand on these Jordan stormy banks up yonder. Oh, what a blessing that will be. Glory to God. 145. Okay.
Stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and perfect land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Extended plain shines one eternal day.
Amen!
There God the sun forever rays and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen! Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for the word this morning. It's rich and sweet knowing that we're comforted by the scriptures. And Lord, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd ask, maybe there's something going on in your life. You need comfort, patience, and hope. And you've got up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand. Glory to God. I've got this situation. I see that hand too. Thank you. Put them down. Lord, I thank you for these uplifted hands. And I thank you that you've got those situations under your thumb. I thank you, Lord, that you've already worked them out. You just haven't shown it yet, but you will. And I thank you, Lord, for these uplifted hands seeking your face, O God, knowing that you will provide the patience they need to endure it, the comfort that will carry them through it, and the hope that will make them believe it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for these uplifted hands and these answered prayers that we commit into your hands. You'll take care of every one of these situations in your timing and in your way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord on the third, folks.
When shall I reach the perfect place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his fulsome breast?
Everybody now.
I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being in his house this morning. And Father, bless us as we're dismissed. I pray you might bring us back tonight at 6 for our studies in the book of Revelation, looking at the tribulation period right now. And oh God, we're so thankful for that verse we read in the message this morning. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so glad, Lord, we're not going through the tribulation period. All those believers who think they are, I tell them, have fun. I'm going to be up yonder dancing on streets of gold. And Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that clearly portrays that. Bless us as we're dismissed. And Lord, I pray that this week you would lay someone on our hearts that we can bring hope to, we can be patient with, and we can give comfort, divine comfort to, by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord.